Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
Father, I ask that for peace, for understanding. Father, I ask that you bring unity within the body of Christ and within our nation. Father, may we never forget what happened 21 years ago today. As we prepare to enter into worship today, may we remember who we are worshiping and who we are praising. Be with us this morning. Be with those who couldn't be here. Watch over each one. Be with our leaders, our soldiers, our police and fire. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we stand up and prepare to get into worship, one thing I want to do is remind everybody that we are worshiping our Savior. We are worshiping the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Alpha, the Omega. So let's get pumped up. I don't want to just see lips move. I want to see people get up. So let's stand up, prepare, and I'll hand it off to John.
Blessed be your name in a land that is plentiful, with streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, or walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be a glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on a road marked with suffering. There's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be a glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be a glorious name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Yeah, you give and take away. Yeah, you give and take away. But my heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be a glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Wonderful, so wonderful is your unfailing love. Your cross has spoken mercy over me. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart could fully know how glorious, how beautiful you are. Beautiful one I love, beautiful one I adore, beautiful one my soul must sing. Powerful, so powerful, your glory fills the sky, your mighty works display for all. Of your majesty awakes my heart to sing. How marvelous, how wonderful you are. Beautiful one I love, beautiful one I adore, beautiful one my soul must sing. Beautiful one I love, beautiful one I adore, beautiful one my soul must sing. And you opened my eyes to your wonders, and you captured my heart with this love, 'cause nothing on earth is as beautiful as you, Jesus. And you've opened my eyes to your wonders in you, and you captured my heart with this love, 'cause nothing on earth is as beautiful as you. Beautiful one I love, beautiful one I adore, beautiful one my soul must sing. Beautiful one I love, beautiful one I adore, beautiful one my soul must sing. And my soul must sing. And my soul must sing. And my soul must sing. Beautiful one. My soul must sing. And my soul must sing. And my soul must sing. Beautiful
the skies proclaim, God, you reign. Your glory shines. You teach the sun when to bring a new day. Creation sings, God, you reign. God, you reign. God, you reign. Forever and You part the seas. You move the mountains with the words that you say. My song remains. God, you reign. You hold my life. You know my heart, and you call me by name. I live to say, God, you reign. God, you reign. God, you reign. Forever and ever, God, you reign. God, you reign. God, you reign. Forever and ever, God, you.
Took down that plane in Pennsylvania. And they did that to protect more American lives against this heinous act of evil that we encountered that day. If you never had a chance, I highly recommend getting over to that site. Check out what's there. But be prepared to spend some time in your own thoughts. The memories come back. I've had the privilege of being there and realizing what those men and women did and what they went through to protect more American lives is astonishing. May we never forget. May we never forget that day. There's one thing I always enjoyed about that at the end of that day. There's one thing that was positive that I can find. We were all Americans. United as one. There was no politics anymore. There wasn't left. There wasn't right. There wasn't Republican. There wasn't Democrat. There wasn't any of those things. We were united as one nation. The churches overflowed again. And this country joined as one. And I think one of the reasons that the churches were so full is there was a question asked. Why? And that is the title of the message this morning. So before we go any further, let's bow our heads. Let's get into the word. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity we have to gather together to praise and to worship you. Father, we thank you for your Son and his willingness to come and die on that cross so that we can be back with you again and for making that way. Father, I ask that this morning it's your words that are spoken and not my own. We ask that if I say anything that is not of you, may it fall on deaf ears. We pray all of this In Jesus' holy name, amen. You know, it's kind of interesting. This morning we're sitting down in Sunday school, and I was down in the youth room, and I realized that not a single one of those students were alive when the attacks happened. I personally remember I was sitting inside of, I was not at school that day, I was at home sick. I remember that. I was at home sick, my mom called and said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm sleeping," because she was at the work, and she's like, "Oh, don't turn on the TV." First thing I did, turned on the TV. Kids, listen to your parents. Do as I say, not as I did. But that's what I did. I went and I turned on, and she kind of explained what was going on. And it was interesting to watch. I think even Cartoon Network had the news going. But as a nation, we were united. And I haven't seen that in years. You know, when we look back on this day, we often ask the question, why? How could such an evil act happen? How could something so evil, what could possess someone to get to that point? How can people sink to that level of straight evil that they would attack complete strangers and kill them without mercy? You know, when we look out and we see bad things happen to people that we don't like or people that we perceive to be bad, you know, we don't give it much thought, do we? We can hear people say it today that people deserved it when they're bad. When someone has got bad intentions, or, you know, somebody ends up in jail and because they did X, Y, or Z, it is what it is. We hear the words, what goes around comes around. And sometimes we respond this way, that's not very Christian of us either. On the other hand, when bad things happen to good people, we wonder, how could something like this happen? How could God allow this form of thing to happen? They were so kind, they were so loving, they were the nicest person. How could they happen? I just lost a friend of mine last week from high school. Left behind two kids. One of the kindest men you'd ever meet. And he makes you wonder, how and why? And we wonder, and it seems not fair. You know, during Jesus' lifetime, the Jews believed that anytime something bad happened to someone, it was because of sin in their life. That it was God's way of punishing them for sin that they didn't admit to or didn't offer a sacrifice for. They also believed that if a child was born with deformity, it was because of the parent's sin, and the parents wouldn't admit to the sin. Though we know through Jesus' teaching, this is not the case. Let me be clear, that is not how this works. It's not how any of this works. It's one thing to see bad things happen to others, but when bad things even start happening in our own lives, we find ourselves asking the question, why, even harder. I know within our own congregation, there are some of you that are facing that question today on the question of why. You wonder why God would allow you to suffer at that moment and where you're sitting right now. Some of you have ended up with cancer or another kind of disease, and you are fighting it harder and harder with everything you have. But for some reason, it doesn't seem like you're winning. You serve God faithfully your entire life, yet now you can't do half the stuff you used to do. And you ask God, why? You may be in a role where you lost your job unexpectedly, and now you're not sure what your next move is. You had planned on retiring, and unfortunately, you lost it just a few years early. You had a bad car accident. Financially, you're not set up for the next step. Sometimes our lives hit these moments where everything seems to be spinning out of control. Ever have a bad fight with your spouse and not talk to them for a while? Maybe when you were younger, your parents got divorced and you couldn't understand how God would let this happen. How could God allow for your family to fall apart? You might have lost a parent at a young age or way earlier than what you ever expected. You lost other loved ones that you weren't ready to lose in life. How can a God who loves me allow me to experience pain and suffering? It just doesn't seem to add up. When bad things happen, we want answers. And oftentimes, we can't Google the answer for this. We find ourselves asking the question, why, over and over. The truth is, we can't know all the reasons why God allows bad things to happen in our lives. Yet, we do know that we live in a world full of sin. Not just that we live in a world full of sinners. Because of this, we will face difficulties. Remember that. Because of the world is full of sin, and the world is full of sinners, we are going to face difficulties in our lives because we're not living out the life that we're called to. And sometimes other people's sin directly affect us. There's times other people's decisions will affect you directly. The same thing is if you make a choice, it'll affect others. Yet if we ask God for discernment and we trust him in these moments, he can show us through time how he can use it for his good, even if the things that happen itself is not good. We can see how God can redeem a situation and help show us and grow us in our lives. Romans 8:28 tells us, we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. Now, if you look at this passage, it says that we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God. Work together for the good. But did you notice it doesn't say that everything is good? We live in a fallen world. Not everything around us is good. Not every experience that we have is good. But what God is saying is he can take that situation and he can work it for his own good. Nothing is always good except for God alone. But God can use the situation that you found yourself in, the bad situation that doesn't seem fair, and he can use it in ways you never expected it, in a way the world never expected you to. We just have to trust that in the end, he will work it out. You know, I often think about my own life growing up. Some of you are aware of this, some are not. But my parents split up when I was around 15 years old, and by the time I was 16, my dad was fully addicted to meth. Praise God, he is free of that drug at this moment in time. But at that time, that's what he did. But that's not the point. I remember the anger that I had within myself because of watching my family split up, watching my dad go to jail back and forth. This is something most of you, I know I've never shared in here, but I will share this morning, is that there was a moment in time I had to go to night school for high school to finish my normal diploma because I had to work during the day to make sure we had enough food on the table at home because Dad made the choices that he did. How many of you had to make that kind of choice in your life? And it made me angry with God. Because he was taking away my childhood, my time that I wanted. All because my dad made a decision. That wasn't my fault that he made that choice. I often found myself asking God, why? And this was against everything I was taught as a child. How could God use any of that for his good? And I found myself asking that question over and over again. But it wasn't until you seek God that you will find peace in your situation. You know, to this day, I'm not sure exactly how God will use this situation for good. But there is one thing that has come out of this when it comes to dealing with my dad. And like I said, he's clean now. I'm thankful for that. Praise God for that. And his and I's relationship is rebuilding in a good way. But The one thing that that situation has done for me going through all of that is I have found compassion for people dealing with addictions and other problems, or for loved ones who've had to deal with that within their own lives. I can actually say I understand where they're at because I've been there myself. And I can show them that there is hope. And I can relate. God has allowed me to use part of my past to reach out and actually help others who found themselves in that same situation. Is it ideal? Do I wish I had to have gone through it? No, but it has allowed me to minister to others in ways that I never would have thought of before. See, God can bring hope. He can use any situation for his good at the end if we trust him. This brings me to the story that I want to talk about today. Today we are going to talk about a young man who seemed to have a bright future. He was his father's favorite child. Some of you can relate to that. Some of you are your parents' favorite child. Some of you have the sibling that you know is the favorite child. In my mom's phone, I am saved as the favorite child. Now, I did the changing, but she's never changed it back. So I will claim that. Yet, due to other people's choices, due to evil in this world, he went through some hardships that would have had many of us asking the question, why? Why would God allow this to happen? We're talking about Joseph. And we're not talking about Jesus' earthly father, Joseph. We're talking about Joseph and the coat of many colors, as most of you guys have probably heard it said before. Okay? That's who we're talking about. When Joseph was still young, a young man, the Bible tells us that his father loved Joseph more than his brothers and his other sons because Joseph was born to him at his old age. So he made a coat for him, one that was adorned with many different colors. We have to remember it nowadays, if we go to a store, we're going to find this whole lineup of shirts. And they're going to have all these different colors on them, and they're all going to be the exact same price. The only difference is the color, and we don't give it much thought. But back in that time, when Joseph, that wasn't the case. It was a long, hard process to have different dyes of different colors, and you went with the cheapest dye typically because it cost too much to do all the others. Purple, for an example, was more expensive than other colors because the process of getting the dye was so much harder. That's why it was considered a color for royalty. You and I, we couldn't afford it, the purple. There's no way we could have afforded purple. It was so rare, too. So when Joseph was given this coat of many colors, it was not a cheap gift. This was not something you would just go out to the local market and pay a little bit and pick up. It was expensive. It showed the love that his father had for him. It was something good that was given to Joseph. In chapter 37, verse 4 in Genesis, it says, "When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his other brothers, they hated him and could not bring themselves to speak peacefully to him." Joseph's brothers were not known for being kind men. Let me get this clear. Joseph's brothers were not known to be kind men, not just because Joseph was the favorite of his dad. They had a track history of being really bad. You go back just a couple chapters, you can actually read a story about Joseph's brothers and how they slaughtered an entire village of men. All of them took all the possessions for themselves. And even though they were trying to make a treaty and stuff with them, they actually tricked these men and then went in and just killed them off. Every one of them. Stole the women and children for themselves, took all the possessions. These were Joseph's brothers. They were liars, they were cheaters, everything. These were not good men. And after Joseph got his coat from his father, it tells us in verse 5 and 7 that Joseph had a dream. That Joseph had a dream, and what he told his brothers, they hated him even more. In verse 6, it says, he said to them, "Listen to the dream I had." How many of you want to hear your little brother tell you about their dream that he had? In verse 7, it tells us the dream, and it actually says, there we were binding sheaves of grain on the field. Suddenly my sheaf stood up, your sheaves gathered around it and bowed down to my sheaf. Basically, what he is saying is, hey, by the way, y'all are going to worship me one day. How do you guys think the brothers felt about that? Not real pleased. Can you imagine if your little sibling came up to you and was like, hey, I'm going to be the boss. You're going to work for me. I'm in charge. I was the oldest. I know I was in charge at home. Whether they liked it or not, I was the one that was going to be in charge. They didn't take too kindly to his dream. It tells us in verse 8 again, "Are you really going to reign over us?" his brothers asked him. "Are you really going to rule us?" So they hated him even more because of this dream. Was that, you know, three times that we've heard they hated his brother? They hated their own brother? Again, Joseph had another dream after that, and his own father rebuked him, and his brothers responded again in verse 11. His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. I think all of us who have younger siblings wouldn't be happy at this moment. Yet, I don't think we would have taken it to the extremes the brothers did. Because no matter how big of a pain in the butt that your siblings are to you, you still love them. You know? We know the story goes on. The brothers are out in the field taking care of the animals, taking care of the flock. When Joseph was sent out to them, when they saw Joseph coming, they came up with a plan. And it tells us in verse 18, they said they saw him in the distance, and before he had reached them, they plotted to kill him. They hated their own brother that much that they plotted to kill him. They hated his dreams. They hated that he was their father's favorite. They figured a way to get rid of him was to just kill him and throw his body in a pit. There was all these little pits around. If you read through Genesis 37, you can see that it talks about these pits. There were cisterns that they would store water in to feed the sheep and the goats and whatever they had with them, their animals, their livestock. How evil does one have to be to try and kill your brother and your own family? All of them were for it except for Reuben. In verse 21 and 22, it tells us, when Reuben heard this, he tried to save him from them. He said, "Let's not take his life." Reuben also said to him, "Don't shed blood. Throw him in the pit in the wilderness, but don't lay a hand on him." He intended to rescue him from them and return him to his father. Now, we may be looking at Reuben as the good guy in this story, but the truth is that he was no better than his other brothers. He was just fearful of his father. That was Reuben was scared of. He was scared of his father. So they took Joseph, stripped him of the coat that his father had gifted him, and threw him in the pit, only to turn around and sit down to eat a meal like nothing ever happened. We know as you go through the story that his brothers ended up, think about that, by the way, they threw him in the pit and they sat down and ate a meal like nothing ever happened. We know as you go through the story that his brothers ended up selling him off. They sold him to the Midianites for 20 pieces of silver, 10 pieces less than what Judas got for Jesus. They took Joseph on to Egypt, and there he was sold to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and a captain of the guard. Joseph went from being the favorite of his fathers to a slave in a far-off land, all due to the sin of others. Joseph didn't make those decisions. His brothers did for him. This happens in our world all the time. You know, children often have to deal with the consequences of their parents' choices. And when their parents make wrongful decisions, the children have to deal with it. When the parents choose to go out and party and blow their money on things of the world and don't have enough money to feed or clothe their children, the children are the ones who suffer. If your employer makes a foolish choice and puts the company in financial risk, the employees are the ones that suffer. If your spouse rejects God's design for marriage, both of you will suffer. Your friends will suffer, your family, your kids, everyone will suffer when you choose to go against what God chose. Our own choices at times affect others. My father's choice to do drugs had consequences on our family, not just himself. We so often underestimate our choices and the consequences that we have, not just on ourselves, but on the others around us. You know, so often we think no one is going to be hurt because I did this or because I did that. Truth is, people do get hurt in that same process. People do get hurt. The Bible tells us, though, even though Joseph was cast off into slavery, he was brought to another land far from anything he knew, but had known. God was with him, though. The Bible tells us that God was with him. Joseph was put in charge of all of Potiphar's house because God was with him. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, serving in the household of his Egyptian master. In 39 verse 2, it tells us that God was taking care of Joseph. When it happened again, Potiphar's wife wanted Joseph. So first Joseph goes, he gets sold into slavery, goes to a new land, builds this new life, becomes a good person within the community, put in charge of many things, is well respected, and then suddenly his master, Potiphar, his wife wanted Joseph. And Joseph tried to stay faithful to his master and respect the marriage that she was in, only to have her lay claim that Joseph still tried to sleep with her and give that accusation. Even after everything Joseph had done for Potiphar, Joseph found himself in jail. He found himself even further down. Not only was he a slave in a far-off land, but he was now a prisoner. Yet even there, God was still with Joseph. Again, Joseph grew to a good position within the jail, and much was entrusted to him. Now, guys, think about that. Her evil intentions had drastic effects on what happened to Joseph. If there's anybody who has a right to ask the question why, Joseph is in a position where he should be asking the question why. Why would God allow any of this to happen? Why? Think about it. It doesn't seem fair. You know, it's one thing when we're reading the Bible, and I can say some of you guys probably have read this story numerous times, and you never even thought about the question why. You never even thought about what God was trying to teach you at that moment. Instead, he went, it's an Old Testament story. You know, it's a fun story. It's got some good points in it. But man, how would you feel if you were Joseph going through all of that? You've been trying to be faithful. You've tried to do everything that you're supposed to do. You keep having the world kick you down, and nothing seems to go right. It's a horrible position to be in. You work hard day and night. But here's the thing. We have to remember, no matter where we find ourselves, no matter what the world throws at us, God is with us. We are never alone. The sin of others, they'll affect us. It doesn't seem fair, but we live in a fallen world. When Adam and Eve took that bite and sin entered this world, that's what happens. And everybody here has the ability to make a choice. We follow God's way or we follow man's way. And unfortunately, when we choose not to follow God, we have consequences. And our consequences often affect others. We have choices to make at these moments. When life is not going, when other things are happening, we have choices. We can either stay angry or we can accept that God's grace to deal with the suffering we find ourselves in. If we choose to stay angry, I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to become bitter. Have you ever met somebody like that? It's absolutely bitter for everything and anything. Like they're always scalding on their face. And I've noticed it at times, especially as someone gets older and stuff, if they have not released whatever anger, whatever thing they're holding on to in their life, if they have not sought for forgiveness, if they have not offered forgiveness for someone, there's this bitterness. They can't find joy in anything anymore because you're always just angry. You have to learn to forgive and trust that God has a purpose and he can use it your suffering for good. You can avoid the trap of bitterness and grow in grace and knowledge. 2 Corinthians 5:7, it tells us, for we walk by faith, not by sight. The Bible never tells us life on earth is going to be easy. You guys ever think about it? You know, I can tell you right now, there's going to be pastors that'll tell you, say this prayer, become a follower of Jesus, and life is easy peasy. All right, it's going to be a good time. I'm here to tell you that's not how it works. The Bible actually tells us to pick up our cross each and every day. That doesn't sound like fun. That doesn't sound like something that a lot of people want to get behind. And when people find out that being a Christian is not always easy, you see people leaving the faith. Because, see, they were looking for that quick way. It doesn't get us out of trouble. It doesn't mean that sin doesn't affect us. We still live in a fallen world. Until we see Jesus face to face, we're going to have struggles in our lives. And even when we don't understand why, we just look to Christ and we trust in him. Jesus himself, when he was here on earth, he was ridiculed, he was betrayed, he was beaten, he was humiliated, he was abandoned, he was falsely accused. And then guess what? His disciples, same thing, ridiculed, beaten, humiliated, abandoned, and falsely accused. And so were many of our Christian brothers and sisters throughout history. And you know what? It's still happening today. Why would we be any different? Give me one reason why we should be different than any of those people. That we should never have experienced any pain. At least we know the one who gives comfort in those moments. At least we know the one who gives us hope and gives us a future. We don't have to walk through it alone. You know, 1 Peter 4:12 and 13, it actually tells us, "Dear friends, don't be surprised when the fiery ordeal comes among you to test you as if something unusual were happening to you. Instead, rejoice as you share in the suffering of Christ, so that you may also rejoice with great joy when his glory is revealed." Verse 12 again, if you go back up there to verse 12, says, "Don't be surprised." We're not supposed to be surprised when we face this suffering. Joseph made a choice to stay faithful to God no matter what this world threw at him. He made a choice to stay faithful, and because of that, every time that the world tried to knock him down, every time someone else's sin knocked him down, God moved him further and further up. And you know what happened? Because Joseph stayed faithful to God and all that suffering he faced because of this. At the end, he was serving right underneath Pharaoh himself. He was the second in command of the entire country. Potiphar was under him now. God had used Joseph in his loyalty. In all of it. Because of this, when famine hit the land, he was also able to save his own family. And he kept them from starving. And when his brothers came to him and they found out who he was, they were scared. Can you imagine thinking that your brother is gone, you haven't seen him in all these years, and suddenly you come in begging for food and finding out the second in command in the entire nation is your little brother that you did that evil to? I have a feeling their clothes may have been a little brown. His brothers were scared. Joseph knew that, and it tells us in Genesis 50, verse 20, this is how Joseph responded. "You planned evil against me. God planned it for good to bring about the present results and the survival of my people." You know, we never know where God is going to take us. We never know the trials that are in front of us. Yet we know that God walks along those entire things with us. We all have seen that picture of the footprints in the sand. Guys, we don't travel. We don't have to deal with these why questions alone. Sometimes you will find an answer. Sometimes you will find an answer on why evil things happen and why something bad happened and how God can use it for his good. Some things we'll just have to wait until we see Jesus face to face. That's not to try to sugarcoat it. You know, some people say, "Oh, no, you'll figure it out." No, some of it we will not know until we see Jesus face to face. But when we look back and we look at all the good things that God has done in our lives, all the times that we have trusted him, and he has worked it out for his good when we didn't see a way, we hold on to those moments in memory of what God can do. So when we don't know the answer, we know that God does because he has taken care of it before. When you have a victory, when you have something that happens, I encourage you to write it down. Reflect on it. Double check yourself. Because there's going to be moments in your life you're going to need to have those memories. You're going to have to look back and remember, God took care of that. You know, I had a house fire 8 years ago. And I remember asking God point blank, why? Why would you let this happen to me? Don't you know what I did to be in this position? I made some sacrifices to get here. And the only thing I could think of is, you know, I take care of the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, okay? And then he also brought in that passage, my ways are higher than your ways, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. I shut up after that, and let me tell you, God took care of that situation more than I ever could have imagined, in ways I never could have imagined. That's a small one. I know people, though, if we just trust in him and remember those little moments when you're facing trials and when you're asking why, I still ask why September 11th happened. I don't have an exact answer for that. I don't. Maybe one day I'll know. Maybe I'll know the good that can come out of it. But right now I don't. To close off, Romans 8:28 says, and I said it earlier, we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. When bad things happen, remember this verse. It doesn't mean that it's good. It just means that God can work it for his good. We just need to trust him. So the next time you find yourself in a difficult position, ask God, what can I learn from this? How can I grow from this? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this day, and we just want to thank you for your word. Father, we want to thank you for the opportunity to worship you and to praise you this morning as a family. Father, I ask that we just grow deeper with you, that we learn to trust you, even in those difficult why moments, even when we don't understand, knowing that you are ultimately in control. Your ways are much higher than anything that we could ever think of. Father, give us peace. And even in the middle of the storms, bring us joy. Because we know you can use us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is my desire, Lord, of you. Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. All I have within is in you. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Have your way in me. This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart I worship you. All I have within me, I give you praise. All that I adore is in you. Lord, Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me.
As we close out, one, Dallas and Jonathan, the two young men in the back, we got to give them a round of applause. They stepped up last minute. We needed some help in the back. So we got some good teenagers here, and I'm very thankful for that because they definitely stepped up. And they were here by like 8 o'clock this morning already. So, but as you guys go out this week, may you look for God in everything that you do. Be an example to others around you. And when life hits you in ways that you don't expect, ask God what he has for you on that and how you can grow and show his love for others through it. May God bless you, may he keep you, and make his face shine upon you. God bless.
Thank you for joining us today from Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.